I want you to turn with me this morning. I want to talk to you just a little bit about fulfilling the potential that God has for you.
Yes.
You have potential, and most of the time we go through life and we don't fulfill that potential. We don't get to that place that God really wants us to be. And it's because we don't exercise the potential that God has placed in us. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. And I know that kind of, you know, the weeping prophet, but I want to encourage you with this word. I want you to be encouraged with this word. It's a word that really touched my heart tremendously when I was going over it a couple of weeks ago. And I just said, Lord, if there's a time you want me to minister this, just let me know. And so we're going to be in the 29th chapter. And I'm going to read four or five little verses beginning with the fourth verse. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive. Now, he's talking to people that were carried away captive. That were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminish or not decrease. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will also have peace. Father, I just want to give you glory for your word and ask you to minister to every person here at some time or another during this sermon. Father, give me the words that will touch the hearts of your people, and give me open hearts to receive that word, Father, that when we leave here today, we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt we've been in the presence of God.
Amen.
And he has ministered to us. And for that, we give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. God is speaking to Israel in a very difficult time. And the time that he's speaking to them, they were carried away captive into Babylon. And I love what he said. He said, when you get there, I know that you're going to be in an unusual circumstance. You're going to be in a bad situation. But there, I want you to prosper. I want you to build houses and live in them, dwell in them, and enjoy them as long as you're there. I want you to increase. I don't want you to decrease. I want you to have children. In other words, you're going to be carried away captive, but I don't want you to act like you're a captive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it really doesn't matter what happens to you or even what people say about you. It's how you react to it.
Amen.
That's going to be important.
Amen.
Are y'all there? In other words, I don't care what you're having to live through. I don't care what's going on in your life. You need to live like the victor.
Yeah.
You need to realize that wherever you are, God is in charge of your life. Look at somebody and say, God loves you, and he's in charge of you. He's in charge of you, and regardless of what they say or what they do, God's going to take care of you. So God's talking to these scattered Jews, the diaspora, we call them. And if you were to go to Israel today, you'll more than likely, unless you're in a private plane, you will land in Tel Aviv, and when you get to Tel Aviv, you're right outside of Tel Aviv is this museum called the Diaspora Museum, and it's all the times that the Jews, that the Israelites have been sent into captivity somewhere and have been dispersed and scattered all of them. They got all of these times, and you'll be able to go through there and see these. But when you walk in the Diaspora Museum, the scattered museum, when you walk in that museum, the first thing you're going to see is a sign, and it's going to say, every Jew is responsible for every other Jew. That may not mean a whole lot to you. You say, well, I'm not a Jew. No, but you're a child of God.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if the church had that same perspective, that every one of us felt fully responsible for everybody else? We are responsible. You know why? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we need to recognize, God, when we are in our worst situation, we're scattered, and we just need to recognize that God has everything under control. He said, while you are in captivity where I sent you, where I sent you, God said to all those whom I have caused to be carried away, whom I caused to be carried away into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, it was my plan. It was not the plan of the Babylonians. It was not even your plan. It was my plan. You know, sometimes God will allow you to go through things just to get you to where he really wants you. He will allow you to experience some things that may not be as good as you'd like to experience, just so that he could get you to a place that he can bless you. And then see what he told him. He said, look, I want you to go, and I want you to be blessed there. But remember, I'm going to come back for you, and I'm going to bring you out. And when I do, I'm going to bring you home, and I'm going to bless you more. I don't know. You know, we've gone through these times, and we've had perilous times in America, and we're not really have much trust for our government or for the people that are making laws and this sort of thing. We're really dealing with some things, and we need to realize wherever we are now, God is still in control. It doesn't matter what happens. God is responsible for us, and we don't need to worry about what the rest of the world is doing. We need to begin to focus on what God has prepared for you and I. See, when something happens in your life, you can say, number one, it was God's plan for me. It was God's anointed plan for me. Even though that you may not understand it, how many of you know God's ways are not our ways? The Bible says that even his thoughts are not our thoughts. They're different than ours. And so even though you do not understand it, God has a plan for your life. So you can either admit it and say, this is God's plan for my life, and wherever I am and whatever I'm doing, I'm just going to make the best of it. Or number two, you could say, it was my plan. It was my plan for my life, and now I want God to bless it. How many of you have ever just done your thing? Oh, I've got myself in such messes and said, Lord, please bless this mess. Just help me get out of it. And then I go on to lie to him. I say, Lord, if you'll help me out of it this time, I'll never, ever, ever do that again. And then once everything settles down and I think, bless my sorry soul, I've lied again. And this time I've lied to God. So we when we do our own thing, we're doing it without God. We're depending on ourselves, and we're not even depending on God. But I can assure you that when you begin to depend on God and you trust the Lord in all that you do, and you say, I may not understand it, but I've done what I'm supposed to do. And if I've done what I'm supposed to do, then God is going to take my circumstance, my situation, and he's going to increase me there. We need to recognize that God is a God of increase. He's a multiplying God. And he wants us. He has an anointed plan for you. He had an anointed plan for them. They didn't understand it, but he had an anointed plan for them. And that plan included peace and prosperity. Peace and prosperity. Listen, God's plan in your life is going to give you peace. God's plan in your life is going to prosper you. It included peace and prosperity. And the same goes for what? How many of you know that prosperity is more than money?
Amen. Amen.
Prosperity is more than money. It's more than stuff.
Yes.
You know, you get my age, you think about things. When I was Ronnie's age, I didn't think about these things. Now I think about, you know, one of these days I'm going to die.
Amen.
You know, I thought you, would you stand up by me? How tall are you, Ron? How tall are you?
Almost 6'3".
He's almost 6'3". At one time, I thought I was 10 foot tall.
Amen.
And bulletproof, thank you. And bulletproof. I just wanted him to see how big I thought. I never worried about dying. I didn't think those things were going to happen. And I was so busy trying to build this and build that and build another and gain stuff. And one day in my dotage, I began to think about it. And I've done, I don't know how many, probably 1,000 or more funerals in my ministry career. And I've yet to see a hearse pulling a U-Haul.
Amen.
Or a budget truck. I've yet to see that. It's amazing to me how we're so busy trying to gather up, and God wants you to have a life of peace. And that's the prosperity of God, is having peace. If you could just really understand that God will give you peace in every situation, He will walk with you. He will be your front guard, and He will be your rear guard, and He will just encamp about you, and the powers of the enemy in hell cannot come against you, because He has a prosperous life for you. And it's going to include peace. It's going to include peace in you. And God wants you to have peace. So that's a part of prosperity. God said build houses and settle down. Plant gardens. Plant farms and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. Give your daughters to be wives to the sons. And increase in number. And don't decrease. Increase and don't decrease. I want you to look at somebody and say, God wants you to prosper. God, now say it like you mean it. Come on. Don't say it like I'm telling you to say. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to prosper. Husbands, if you have your wife with you, look at your wife. Wives, look at your husband and say, God wants you to prosper. God wants you to prosper. Let me tell you, if your wife prospers, you got to prosper. If your husband, you got to prosper. Are you with me? In other words, you become one, and we need to just realize that God wants us to prosper. 3 James 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and grow in health, even as your soul prospers. So you may be in captivity to something this morning. You may be in captivity to something, that you may be even in captivity to someone. But you may, if you're in captivity to something, there's a lot of things we become captive to. Somebody shake their head yes, because that's a good statement. We you know, some people become captive to things, and some people become captive to popularity or fame or whatever it is. There's many things that you can become captive to. And so if you're in captivity this morning, I want you to remember this. Say, I'm going to remember this. All right, I'm going to remember this. If you're in captivity this morning, I want you to say, I'm not limited by my captor. I am. Look, you may tie me up, but you can't make me like you. You can't make me like the condition. Are you with me? I mean, I may even discipline myself to do things, but can I tell you this? That doesn't mean I gotta like it.
Amen.
I'm not limited. Let me tell you something. The whole time that you have me captive, I'm trying to think of how I'm going to get out of it.
Yes.
I'm working out a plan in this pea brain of mine.
Amen.
And I want to be able to come out of that thing. And when I do, I'm going to come out swinging. I just believe it. God wants us to know that even though we may be in captivity this morning, we're not limited by our captors.
Amen.
You can allow your captor to limit you in everything you are. You could say, I'm above that.
I'm above.
I'm just not going to be limited by that. You may be in your Babylon this morning. You may be where you think that you're in captive, and you may even feel like God sent you there. But God wants you to increase and not decrease wherever you are this morning. You may be in a position or a circumstance or a situation that you cannot see where you can increase. But no matter where you are, God has given you the potential to increase.
Amen.
Tell the devil he's a lie. If he says you can't have it, say, yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes.
Now watch this. You will increase or you will decrease.
Yes.
One way or the other. You're not going to stay where you are. You will either increase or you will decrease. And that's one of the things that I've learned in 45 years of pastoring. A church never stays the same. It either increases or it decreases. Relationships, they either increase or they decrease. Come on, church, I'm talking to you. You know I am. And I'm really preaching. I'm preaching a good sermon. So you got to recognize that you're either going to increase or you're going to decrease. In your relationships, wherever you are, you know what? Our problem is we try to maintain. Come on. Come on, if you're in business, you want to build your business up, and then you say, I got to maintain it. No, you got to keep increasing. Because you're not going to maintain. Because when you maintain, after a while, you just sustain. It's either an increase or it's a decrease. Your life is never going to stay the same. Your life is going to either increase or your life is going to decrease. Spiritually, you're either going to increase or you're going to decrease, one or the other. You're not going to maintain a relationship with God. And I'm going to tell you why. And it's not a real spiritual revelation. The reason you can't is because you're just not there yet.
Amen.
God's the only one that can maintain because he's achieved.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
I know you're there with me. You're just not there. You may think you're there,
yes,
but you're just not there yet.
Not yet.
And so you can't maintain. I want you to get out of this maintaining mode of the church and of your relationship and of your marriage and in your job.
Yes.
You got to increase. Look at somebody and say, you must increase. You must increase. You must increase. You must increase. I remember I got out of college. I was when I graduated from Troy State and went to Atlanta for a few months and worked with Delta Airlines. And I went into talked with the human resources guy. I believe back then they called it the personnel manager. And I was in there, and he says he was just kind of wanting to get to know me and see if, you know, if I really had a drive or didn't. And he said, "Where do you see yourself 10 years from now with Delta Airlines?" I said, "I see myself behind your desk." Are you there?
Amen.
And I could tell he was kind of set back by what I said, but I had a good comeback. I said, "So that means you're going to be where the president is."
Amen.
He hired me. This guy actually hired me. He put me on the payroll. And I didn't stay with him. God called me into the ministry, but can I tell you something? He just retired president of Delta Airlines. It's knowing and believing that,
yeah,
God has given you the potential to be anything you desire to be.
Yeah.
He wants you to fulfill your desires. I got to hurry, got to run, got to go. God said, "I know where you are. I know where you are. I put you there. I want you to prosper as long as you're there, and then I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to bless you even more." Let me tell you something. God will not just bless you in your promise. He'll bless you in your bondage.
Amen.
He'll bless you in the worst times of your life. Isn't it amazing? We think that before God can bless us, everything's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? We think, all the bills got to be paid, and everybody's got to love me, and that'll never happen. And you say, before God can really bless me, I got to have this right, and I got to have that right now. No, God is going to bless you. He's going to bless you right where you are now. All you've got to do is recognize the fact that He's God and be obedient to Him. And if you'll do that, He's going to increase you. He's going to bless you. I believe that God knows where you are this morning.
Amen.
When I say He knows where you are, I'm not talking about He knows you're in church. He knows where you are mentally. He knows where you are emotionally. He knows where you are spiritually. And He loves you, and He wants you to prosper right where you are. I would this morning that God would just give me the words to convince you that regardless of what you're going through, you can prosper there. You can prosper right where God has you. And then God said something amazing. He said, seek peace for the city.
Yes.
To the place I've carried you to. Seek peace for it, because in its peace, you're going to find peace.
Amen.
Now, I've said this many, many, many times. I've said, I like to be around people that are blessed.
Yes.
Blessed people are happy people. Seriously, they're just happy and they're content. Paul said, I've just learned to be content no matter what condition I'm in, no matter what situation. I've just learned to be content. Blessed people are content and they're happy people. And so I like to be around blessed people. And the reason I like to be around blessed people is because I've learned that in God, there's always an overflow. In God, there's always an overflow. In the world and in the flesh, there's not an overflow. There's just enough to make it. But in God, there's an overflow. In God, there's an overflowing. God operates in overflow. God, and watch this. God wants you to operate in overflow. God wants you to have overflow. You know, I've taught this for years and years and years. You don't give out of your need. You give out of your overflow.
Yes.
If you give, God's not going to take from one of His own to give to another one. Come on, church. You give out of your overflow, not out of your need. Now, you pay your tithe, and if you got yourself in a mess that you can't pay your tithe, that's your own fault. And God expects you to pay your tithe. I'm not talking about tithe. I'm talking about giving. And there's a difference. You don't give your tithe. You pay your tithe. It belongs to God. So I like to be around blessed people because I know that there's an overflow in God, and if I'm there, I'm going to receive some of the overflow. Not for what I do, but just for being there.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you can be blessed just for being in the right place. Listen, more than that, I would rather be around people that have peace in their life. You know, peace is a precious commodity.
Yes.
Let me tell you how to have peace in your life. It doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter what people think about you. What matters is how you let it affect you. How confident are you in God? How confident are you in your relationship with God? If you're confident in your relationship, it doesn't matter what people do. You're going to respond in a godly manner. I love this passage of Scripture in Matthew, the 5th chapter, the 44th verse. Jesus said, now listen, if Jesus said it, it's pretty well true. Wouldn't you agree with that? This way for you. All right. So Jesus said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pray for those that persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. This is a different concept than we're accustomed to. This is so different than what we're accustomed to in the world today. If you will, you don't have to do it now, but look up Luke 6:37 and 37 and 38. It says, judge not and you'll not be judged.
Amen.
Condemn not and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven.
Yes.
I love that. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together,
yes. And
running over shall men,
yes.
Shall men give into your bosom.
Yes.
For with the same measure that you measure, it will be measured to you again. Wow. Wow. Listen, he's not just talking about money or things, but also how much grace have you extended lately? I know I'm preaching now. I don't care. Y'all don't have to jump up and holler and carry on. I know it's hitting home. What's this? How much grace have you extended to others? How many times have you forgiven?
Yes.
How many times have you just said, you know, God's way is just to forgive. And I'm going to forgive because I know I need forgiven. Jesus went on to say that if you don't forgive, then your Father who is in heaven, he's going to buy you a popsicle. No. He said, then your Father won't forgive you. It's imperative. As a matter of fact, it is so imperative that Jesus said, all men everywhere must repent and forgive.
Yeah.
Watch this now. God said, I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, to give you hope. Everybody say hope. That, say it like you mean it. Hope.
Hope.
I'm telling you, you can take anything I have. Don't take my hope away from me. That's what I live for. That's what I cling to. Hope is the potential for your future. Hope is the potential for your future. And you have potential. And hope is your potential for your future. You have potential, but what does your potential offer? What does your future hold for you? If hope is the potential for your future, what does your future hold for you? I like what Lester Summerall said. Lester Summerall said, God has endowed every believer with seeds of greatness. Well, I don't believe y'all got that.
Amen.
I mean, he come right out of the Bible and pulled this out and he put it in modern day language and he said very simply, God has endowed every believer with seeds of greatness.
Yeah.
God has seeded in you greatness.
Yeah.
Wow. Every one of us, God has seeded greatness in us. God has, and I begin to think about that, seeded. God has seeded into us. He's seeded. And by putting a seed in you, he has impregnated you. By putting a seed in you, he has impregnated you. When you put a seed in the ground, it rots and it impregnates the ground, and the ground delivers whatever was in the seed.
Amen.
Are y'all there?
Yeah.
If you're pregnant, then you're expected to deliver something. And if you're pregnant and you're expected to deliver something, then you're going to deliver whatever is in the seed that's in you. Are y'all there with me? Whatever that seed is what you're going to deliver. Faith is the seed of potential. This is good. Faith is the seed of potential. I believe God has put the seed of faith in us so we can deliver to our full potential. He's put that seed of faith in us. We can deliver to our full of, what is in us? Faith. Your potential is in you. Your potential is in you. Your future is waiting to be delivered. Watch it. Faith is the seed for potential. And if God's put the seed of faith in us, we can deliver to our fullest potential of what's in us. So we can be able to say that whatever this book says, or your phone says, what, for you that use your phone, whatever this book says I can be, then I can be that. Whatever this book says I can have, then I can have that. Whatever this book says I can do, then I can do that. Because I have the seed of faith. And my potential is going to deliver whatever is in that seed. And I have the seed of faith in me. That's the reason Jesus said that you can speak to that mountain, be thou removed to yonder place, and it shall be moved. That's the reason that he gives us these. Faith is the seed for potential. So we can be whatever God wants us to be and has ordained us to be. But if we do not, this is getting down to the last of us here, got to listen. If we do not reach our potential, then something went wrong with the seed. Come on. Come on. Come on. Something, if you put a seed in the ground and nothing comes up, something went wrong. Something went wrong. Everything didn't work the way that it was supposed to work, and then nothing happens. If everything works the way it's supposed to work, then something is going to happen, and that seed is going to bring forth its kind. That's what the Bible tells us. So watch this. If we do not reach our potential, then something went wrong with the seed. And what went wrong did not start in the seed. It started in me.
Amen.
Or you.
Amen.
So I'm not looking for what went wrong with God's seed that he seeded into me. I'm looking for what went wrong with me. I'm not worried about the seed. The seed is what God put in me, so therefore, it's got to be right. If God seeded in me, it was a perfect seed. So whatever went wrong in me. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to figure out the seed, and we just need to figure us out.
Amen.
When you deliver, God wants you to deliver to your fullest potential. I want you to think about something that's out of your reach, unattainable to you. That's where God wants to take you. God wants to take you. You got to realize that you got to look at things and say, there's no way I can reach that. And God says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Right outside of giving this illustration many years ago, and it just come to mind. I want to share a good way to wind up this morning's service. I was outside one time of Salt Lake City, and there was going up a mountain, and we were going around this mountain, and there was a natural tunnel. It was just where the water run down. It made a tunnel. And you would take you a while to get through because the car ahead of you is going to stop. And what would happen, and I even did, we all do, everybody that went through that tunnel, you'd pull your car right up to the tunnel. And you get out of your car, and you go to the back of your car, and you're going to look down one side of it, then you're going to go around on the other side and look down the other side of it. And then you're going to go around to the front, and you're going back through the tunnel, and you're going to look down the tunnel on one side, then you're going to look down the tunnel on the other side. And then you're thinking, I believe I can do it. And you're scratching your head, and you look up, and there's a sign on over the tunnel says, Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
I have the potential of God in me. He's seated into me. And what He seeded will be delivered. And my potential is the faith that God has seeded into me. So whether it seems attainable or unattainable, or whether it's probable or improbable, really doesn't matter if God implanted, impregnated me with a seed of faith. So we quote Romans 8:28. Somebody holler it out for me. I'll help you. There you go. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
When are we going to start living it? I love Hebrews 11:6. It says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith's not always fun. Faith, if everything's working great, you're not walking in faith. Faith's not always fun. Faith is not always comfortable, but watch this. Faith always pleases God. Wow. It may not be too comfortable, but I know I don't like this. I don't like what I'm having to walk through, but I know I'm pleasing God. Wow. Is that powerful to you? Good. Praise the Lord. Faith. We can do it. Say, I can do all things. Listen, we have the faith, we have the seed in us to bring forth the fruit we desire. Mark 11:26, Jesus said, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and you will have it. Whatever. We stay so focused on getting the fruit that we do not recognize the seed. If you put a limit on what you can be, you put a limit on what you will be.
Yes.
If you put a limit on what you can be, you put a limit on what you will be. Stand up with me. When the seed of faith impregnates the egg of desire, conception takes place, and the manifestation of your potential is simply a matter of time.
Amen.
Simply a matter of time. When you know the seed that is on the inside of you has impregnated your desire,
yes,
your dream, you need to find a birthing place. When you birth it out, it becomes a living manifestation of your potential. Your potential is not a reality until it manifests itself. We've got so much potential in each and every one of us. Now, I gotta say this because this is what God would have you understand. If we have that much, do you believe that what I've said this morning comes out of the Bible? Sure. I backed it up. Every bit of it was Scripture.
Amen.
Every bit of it comes from the Bible. So if each one of us in this building this morning have been impregnated with the seed of faith, how far can we go?
Amen.
Are we going to limit what we can do? Then we're going to limit what we will do. Or each one of us, each one of us has this seed of faith in us. What if we as a body become one in Christ Jesus?
Amen. Amen.
Are y'all there with me? Oh, my God. Then we can understand when we see the sign in the Diaspora Museum that says every child of God is responsible for every other child of God.
Yes.
Because we become as one.
Yes.
When you birth it out, it becomes a living manifestation of your,
yes,
of your potential. Now, so I want to wind this thing up, the last point, and I'm serious about that. Your potential has the ability to make your dream become a reality.
Yes.
Thank you. Somebody got it. Your potential has the ability in it to make your dream a reality. Now I want you to look at somebody and say, you have potential. You have potential. You have potential. I'm telling you, church, I have potential this morning. But can I tell you, sometimes I don't live up to my potential. Sometimes I don't live up to my potential. I've got potential. I know I do. I may be approaching 70 years old, but can I tell you, I believe that my potential, I've not yet reached my fullest potential. I have potential. And I'm gonna live out that potential. But sometimes I don't quite make it. How many of you would say with me this morning, Pastor, I'm with you. I'm with you. Sometimes I don't live up to my potential. I want to. I mean to. But I just get lazy. Or I just get rebellious. Or I just don't want to. Are you there, church? I'm going to ask you if you recognize that you've not lived up to your potential and you would like prayer this morning, I want you to come.